Sefolufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us now. Mark, I learned something about myself today.
What is that?
That I don't pay attention to numbers anymore like I used to, as far as jersey numbers. I'm terrible with it. I mean, I used to live by that. That was like the big thing. Oh, they chose the number, whatever. Now I'm realizing I'll watch 82 Nuggets games, and I couldn't tell you KCP's jersey number. I'm very disappointed in myself.
Well, I think that means you're growing as a sports counselor, all right? It is funny, all the years I've been in this business, and I'll get stopped by some fan, and they'll be talking about, you know, this game, did you watch this? Yeah, I watched. Did you see that? Did you see that? This guy wearing different kind of socks. I'm like, no, I don't know. I didn't pay attention to anything you're talking about. For me, it's watching the competition.
Yeah.
And the execution of the, you know, the game plans, that kind of thing. And the extraneous stuff, I really don't pay much attention to. So I think that just means you're growing, Brady, is all that means.
So it's a good thing, then. This is a good thing. I'm watching sports differently now, is what you're saying.
Exactly right.
Okay.
You're watching for the sport and not for the drama surrounding the sport. So I think that's a step in the right direction.
Well, I mean, it's just crazy. The NFL saying that you can wear the number zero now, that's like a big deal. Everyone's losing, including me, Mark. Everyone's losing their minds about it. It's just crazy.
Well, you know, this number stuff just really drives me crazy because it just what I was just talking about, it doesn't mean anything. So was there something wrong with all the years where it was very clear in the NFL, you know, if you were in the numbers 50s, 60s, or 70s, you were going to be primarily offensive,
yes,
defense, but maybe some linebackers in the 50s, but everything was very much laid out. Numbers indicated what position the field. Why was there a need to change that?
I don't know, because it's weird because I don't like it, but for some reason, Patrick Surtain wearing number two really, really pleases my eyeballs. I don't know why, but the rest of it, yeah, linebackers, you should be wearing 50s. Stop messing around with other weird numbers. I don't want you wearing single digits.
It adds nothing to anything. It doesn't change anything. It became, I think, an ego thing for athletes. They pushed it, and eventually, you know, the NFL and whatever leagues we're talking about eventually kind of folded on it. What was the point of it? There was no, really, was you know, whatever player was pushing the envelope years ago and wanted to wear 99 in basketball, and you know, fans may or may not know this, the reason they didn't have any number out there above 5 was because of the hand signals for the referees, right? So, you know, if I got to do, it says 66, I got to go one full hand and a 1. Okay, is that 16 or is it 60? Right? It's just silly. But somebody pushed the issue on this, and the league folded it. There was no point in it. Shut up and play the game, and don't worry so much about your number. That's not what this is about. This is about execution and winning and losing. That's what it's supposed to be about. But, again, I'm sounding like get off my lawn.
Hey, me too. I was saying earlier, I was like, you know what the one change they should make with numbers? Punters and kickers don't need numbers, Mark. We know who you are. You don't look anything like the rest of the players out there. You don't get a number.
Well, those guys, I had no problem giving them some obscure number for the reasons you're talking about. You know, they probably do need, although I guess if I'm doing play-by-play and a no-number guy is running down and makes a tackle, I guess I can just assume it's the kicker at that point, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, one of the things that always bothered me about this, what I enjoyed about the NFL for so many years, it was about the game. It was always about the game. And the individual really was kind of hidden. They're under pads and helmets and all that. And so it was more about the game and the team than it was about the individual. The NBA for a long time has been about the individual. The NFL has certainly, I think, began to kind of give ground in that regard. And so it's becoming more about the individual. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing.
Mark, we're just in a weird world with everything now. I mean, numbers are the most important thing. We got NIL, we got transfer stuff. And again, you and I have had great conversations. I like NIL stuff at its core. And I'll give you an example, Mark. There's a player for the enemy that I cannot speak of with you on the air, but there's a player that I really respect. He's out knocking on doors, and he's a hell of a player. He's out knocking on doors, you know, hey, I'd love to represent you guys, you know, throughout the day. That kind of stuff I really value. I think that's great. But again, it's blown up, and the NCAA has kicked the can down the road for so long that we're in some territory that I never even thought we'd get to. So at its core, I get it, but we're in uncharted territory now, and I don't know what's going to happen next.
Well, one of the issues we're getting to, and athletes are starting to find out, you know, and I just read, because the McDonald's All-American game was last night, and somebody was saying that Bronny James is going to have like $7.2 million dollars in NIL deals. Let me tell you something. First off, if his name was Bronny Smith, he would not have $7.2 million. The reason he's getting the money is because he's LeBron James' son, okay? That's the way this works out. So the issue's becoming with a lot of athletes out there, when you open this door about NIL, everyone thought, well, I'm going to get all kinds of money. What they're finding out is, and this isn't even a pure test of it, because those of us who have been in the broadcast industry for a long time, and, you know, we do endorsements and those kind of things, they just don't hand them to you for no reason, just because you show up. You don't walk through the door and else they go, oh, hey, Bob Smith, let me give you $100,000 because you showed up and you got a job now. That's not the way this works. You have to add value to it. Now, it's still somewhat of a gray area in college athletics because you have boosters out there that simply because they want their program to do well are going to offer money to somebody that probably is bringing you no value. There's no return on investment for a lot of these NIL deals, okay? And college athletics is still an area where people are willing to throw the money at it because it may help my program. But what we're seeing with a lot of college athletes, they're starting to understand, oh, wait a minute, just because I showed up doesn't mean you're going to give me money? Well, that's not reality. That's not the way the real world works. And so there is some aspects about this that is getting kind of interesting, where you're seeing some athletes kind of learning some very hard lessons out there, that just because I jumped to another program now in the transfer portal, automatically people aren't giving me money all the time. And so it's really kind of a fascinating experiment to watch, if you will.
Well, and Mark, to add one more thing to that, it's almost, there's external groups coming up that are creating NIL, little banks, if you will, or whatever. And they're competing against the school now. You know, school's trying to sell advertising and get stuff up on their arena and their scoreboards and all that stuff. With you, Mark, I mean, you have live reads you're doing throughout the game. Well, that's now competing with, okay, do I want to support Shador here or do I want to support the overall thing with the Buffs? They're competing against each other, but they're also supposed to support each other, too. So it's kind of crazy.
Brady, that has been an aspect that I have over the last couple of years have talked with more supporters at the University of Colorado that have told me that's a bit of consternation for them. They've always, one man said to me, I've always been a supporter of the athletic department. Now I'm getting hit up on the other side with the NIL. Well, I don't have unlimited money here. He said, I've got a certain amount of money that I can donate to help the University of Colorado, and I'm sure this is the same for, you know, boosters all over the country. Not everyone's a T. Boone Pickens who could just, you know, give you hundreds of millions of dollars, right? There's a limit to what they can give. And so they're sitting there saying, well, should I give it to the athletic department because it's going to help all the student athletes? Or do I give it to the NIL and give it to one kid? So let's say somebody gives $50,000 a year to an institution. Okay, well, boy, you know, I sure want, you know, the, even though I'm getting hit on this side from a football player, I sure like to make my money to go to, you know, the tennis team or the golf team or the volleyball team and maybe some of the less high-profile sports that are out there. And so they're torn between that. And I think it's administrators I've talked to over the last few years, they were totally concerned about that because you could see it coming. There's not an – despite what everybody tells you that's on the other side of this, there's not an unlimited amount of money out there to keep giving to everybody. And you just keep – you know, everyone's going to keep writing checks. That's not the way this works. Everyone's got a budget they've got to stick to.
Mark, I saw the NCAA president had a statement on an NIL hearing. I don't know if it really – I don't know what it means. It just kind of means, hey, we're looking into it. I don't know how you begin to regulate it. I really don't. And that's kind of what I got from the statement was we're gonna look at it. But how do you regulate this?
Well, think about – and this was something you and I were talking about 2-3 years ago. And that was every state passes different laws. There's nothing universal. And so everyone's playing by a different set of rules. How does that work exactly, ultimately, long-term? There's a reason why in pro sports leagues, the NFL or Major League Baseball or the NBA or the NHL, they've got salary caps, and you have to play on a somewhat level playing field, and everyone's got to learn to work within that because it just sets up a scenario where everyone kind of, okay, we all playing this, at least the same game, right? We may be approaching it different. Some people are smarter at the system than others, but we're all approaching it from the same vantage point. Now, what we've done in college athletics is just totally taken that away. You got 50 different states with 50 different sets of rules and regulations, so everyone is approaching it from a very different vantage point. And I just don't know how that continues down the road. you know, I've told you before, the long-term view of college athletics, I think, is very concerning, and nobody else seems to be concerned about it. Everyone's just got their hand out wanting theirs.
Mark, how does Tad Boyle, you and I have talked a lot about Tad Boyle, and he's, you know, he's been vocal, I don't know necessarily about the NIL stuff, but I think Tad's looked at the way college sports was moving, and you and I have had these discussions. How does he feel about all this? And if he is kind of like, I don't like NIL, don't you kind of have to change a little bit outwardly just so players look at it and go, okay, he's behind it at least?
I don't think anybody likes it, to be honest with you. I have not talked with one coach, and you know, I've told you over the years, I've got communications with a lot of coaches that I've worked with and gotten over the years, and so I will frequently reach out and just say, help me understand. Give me a temperature of what's going on out there. I don't think anybody likes it. Why do you think in recent years here, we've seen Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, Jim Boeheim, we've seen some monsters of coaching step away from this thing because of what it's becoming and how tough it is to deal with. It's a fascinating deal. I don't think anybody really likes it, but the guys who might not be at the point where they think, you know, all those guys were in obviously retirement age, but you know, this is an industry as well, though, guys who play long beyond retirement age, or at least coach long beyond retirement age. I think a lot of guys are adapting the best they can. Now, here's the way I think it really will is washing out in the end. There are some programs who have got enormous opportunity because of the boosters and the people surrounding them. They can go and they can have big money deals. You know what's going on down in Miami? I mean, it's just silly down there, for goodness sakes. You know, they're giving out enormous money. Texas A&M is giving out enormous money. We know that. I think you're kind of starting to see a separation of the haves and have-nots. There's a middle group then that tries to play within the confines of it and can offer athletes something. Now, is it $200,000 contracts? No. But they could offer them maybe $40,000 a year or somewhere along those lines. So at least they're playing in the middle and not getting into the hundreds of millions of dollars we're seeing with some programs out there. And then there are going to be programs that are just, hey, we can't do anything. I mean, you know, maybe you get a $2,000 deal to, you know, talk about Bob's Bike Shop or whatever it might be, right? And you see, you get a couple of bucks in your pocket. I mean, I think that's probably the three levels of what we're seeing in college athletics developing. And so I think every coach within the confines of their circumstances trying to find out what are we, number one, and then how do I navigate within the confines of that, you know. And then there are going to be some athletes out there. And I'll tell you a great story. I mean, I mentioned the McDonald's All-American game. Cody Williams played in that last night, looked very good. He's a heck of a player. Some people project him as a, you know, top five draft pick next year, about not next year, the year after, I should say, in 2024. And so when he was being recruited by Tad Boyle, I specifically asked Tad, I said, did NIL come up? And he said Cody Williams or his parents did not even mention it.
Wow.
The entire time we were talking. So depending upon the individual and the families they come from, that may be the case in some circumstances as well.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. Well, and you know, I look at, you know, again, congratulations to Tad Boyle, announces the 2023 USA men's head coach for the World Cup coming up.
Yep.
I look at that and go, that should be a beacon right there. Hey, we could go play for that guy, Team USA coach. But I don't know anymore. I just don't. I think a lot of these guys are not even looking at that kind of stuff as far as success with their coaches, which is absolutely crazy and bizarre to me.
Well, think about this, Brady. Okay, so here, you know what Tad has done, and you mentioned he's the head coach of the under-19 team. So that's a big deal in international basketball right there. You've got Cody Williams, a potential top five draft pick coming in next season. You've got Tristan Da Silva coming back next year, a potential NBA guy. KJ Simpson coming back next year, a potential NBA guy. And look at what could happen with that team, the kind of team that's coming in next season. You could be talking a team that sits at, you know, elite eight-level team, and yet Lawson Lubbering decided to transfer. And you think, now listen, I'm not going to hold that against him. I was just a half hour ago, was on a show in Salt Lake City. They were asking me about him. Now Lawson made a decision. Do I think it's a wise decision? I think it's a terrible decision. Do I think he maybe got some bad counsel? I think he got some bad counsel. But look at what he walked away from right there. And you think to yourself, what? You were a starter for essentially your entire year and a half because he was injured half the year last year. You were developing. Anybody who paid any attention, Tad Boyle defended Lawson Lovering, I think, as much as I've ever heard in his 13 years at Colorado defend any player. I mean, he was all in for Lawson Lovering. Talked about what a phenomenal defender he was, how he's growing offensively. He's going to be a great player. And could have played next season with a guy in Cody Williams, who's one of the great playmakers, I think, that will come through Colorado a long, long time, that develops plays for other players. And you decide to leave, and you're thinking, what? what am I not getting here? But, again, you're talking about 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, and they make rash decisions, and I think a lot of them are getting bad counsel at different times.
That one, the Lovering one, is the most bizarre to me of all of them. You know, you and I were texting about Dalton Connect the other day. That makes sense. If you get an opportunity to go play for CU, and all, and again, you know, you can still argue the transfer portal and all that, but for Dalton, you know, transfer from JUCO to UNC to BAM, he moves up another step. I get it. I really do. Dalen Kuntz transferring from CU to UNC. It makes sense. But Lawson's like, dude, you're a starter for CU. You're getting all these studs coming back, including a top recruit. You should be very good. So I that one I was scratching my head with, Mark.
It's bizarre. And maybe I entered a kid in your show last week. I mean, I was under the understanding that he really struggled with criticism from fans. You know, and I remember a while back I actually shared that great line from Wilt Chamberlain with him. I said, hey, man, you're a big guy. You know, Wilt Chamberlain once said, nobody cheers for Goliath, right? There's always great expectations for big bodies, but I said keep focused on what's important. Who's in your backcourt? Tad's, you know, the one that's defending you. Your teammates have got your back. Your parents have got your back. I don't know. You don't listen to that garbage out there, but apparently he did. And you wish that somebody in his life would have been a little bit stronger in that regard and sat him down and said, listen, you're in a very good situation here. You've got a great opportunity. You know, next year with Cody Williams being here, listen. Every NBA scout in the NBA is going to be at every single game watching that young man. The guys on this roster are going to be studied and seen just unbelievably by the NBA next year. You want a chance at the NBA? It's a good spot to be because everyone's going to be watching this team next season.
Yeah, it's crazy. Every day continues to amaze me. It's something else for sure, Mark. All right, you guys are. We got about 30 seconds, Mark. Spring ball still rocking and rolling. A new quote every day from primetime. I love it, man. I'm getting my quote book out. It's inspiring.
What did he say a day or two ago? He's going to wear a tank top when he's coaching next year? I'm not sure about that.
Sun's out, guns out, Mark. Come on, you know that.
That's right. They got this week off of spring break, and so they'll be back at it on Monday or Tuesday, I guess it is, when they come back. But, nice start, three practices in the book. Installation going on, a lot of new athletes, so yeah, a lot of excitement around football right now.
Mark, appreciate you as always, man. Who knows where our conversations are going to go, but they're always fantastic, so thanks for all your time.
All right, brother, see you.
All right, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, 12:52 the time, quick break, we're going to wrap up this hour, a lot more to come up in the 1 o'clock hour. It's the whole show, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Tanner Schwint this spring for Preps Baseball on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.